I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, one more opportunity to relish the wisdom of Yogi Berra. But first, I'm joined by Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports and Rachel Bachman of The Wall Street Journal. Together, we will present Three Stories You Should Know. Craig and Rachel, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Craig, seeing as how we are about to embark on the most exciting part of the baseball season and your story is set in baseball, why don't you lead off?
Yes. On Wednesday night, Washington Nationals closer Jonathan Papelbon intentionally hit Orioles third baseman Manny Machado with a pitch because Machado had the temerity to do his job well. He hit a home run a couple of innings earlier, and under baseball's wonderful unwritten rules, that apparently requires a plunking. And this was a pretty serious one. It could have almost hit his head. The most beautiful thing about that, though, is the criticism of Jonathan Papelbon from within baseball is not about him throwing a 93-mile-per-hour fastball at someone's head. It's because he didn't throw it at his tuchus, or he didn't throw it at his ribs. That's apparently the big problem here. And I feel sometimes I'm the only person in the entire baseball omniverse who is concerned that maybe throwing balls intentionally at guys out of a sense of honor is something we should put back in the past. I get shouted down every single time I bring this up, but I'm going to continue shouting about it.
Rachel, what about you? Are bruised batsmen okay by you?
I think it depends on the reason you're doing the beaning. I mean, if someone hit a player on your team, you could make an argument, I would say, that these are part of the checks and balances of the game. But in terms of some other perceived slight, I think that's ridiculous and obviously quite dangerous.
The only problem I have really with pitchers throwing at hitters is they put their teammates at risk in later innings or subsequent games. And I think that's stupid because eventually it ends up in somebody really getting hurt. Still, I can't get too worked up about player damage in baseball compared to player damage in football and some of the other sports. I mean, there's really no comparison, right?
Oh, certainly not in frequency of injury and problems. I mean, the CTE issues in football are incredibly serious. In baseball, we don't see things like that very often. Now, clearly, if someone were to take one just wrong to the head, something seriously could happen. But this is more of a serious risk of something very unlikely as opposed to something like football, which everyone is almost destined to have some sort of brain injury at this point.
All right, we're going to move on to my story, which involves the Chicago Cubs. When they go to the playoffs, I hope they play well and lose, because if they were to win the World Series, which they have not done since 1908, their fans would no longer have a reason to feel special, as in especially burdened. I live in Boston. When the Red Sox finally won a World Series in 2004, what happened? They became just another team that sometimes wins and sometimes doesn't. And I think a lot of their fans just had more fun when they could gather each October for a chorus of lamentation. So I do not wish success on the Cubs.
Well, that's certainly the sentimental choice, I would say. And I'd say in that respect, I agree with you. Then again, I would argue that some Cubs fans might not even know the difference. You know, these are folks who come out in sunny weather. They're there to get a suntan. They don't always seem to care what's happening on the field, as evidenced by sellouts, despite pretty lousy records year after year.
And the fact that many of them are unconscious by about the seventh inning, historically.
Indeed. So I would say many of the folks in the bleachers might not really care either way.
Craig, what about you? Would you delight in the world champion Chicago Cubs?
Oh, I think I would for a little while, but I think I'm with you here on the dynamic of the fans in that we'd have an opposite situation of Boston, because after the Red Sox finally won the World Series, you got a lot of grumbling from hardcore Red Sox fans about how now all these dilettantes are going to come out to the park because they're a winning team, and you're going to have the exact opposite problem in Chicago, because now all the dilettantes who just want to sunbathe in the bleachers are going to have to deal with serious baseball fans, and it's just going to be ugly in Chicago.
Rachel, I understand that you have discovered renewed interest in boxing, albeit not at the heavyweight level.
Yes, that's true. College boxing at the varsity level was discontinued after the 1960 season by the NCAA. So after that, it exists only in club form. But in recent years, it's really seen a renewed interest, in part because of the formation of a new governing body to oversee operations in college boxing. And what that's done is really invite more novices into the fold, more women, and attracted people who are interested in fitness and exercise primarily, Some of them don't even actually want to fight. So what we're seeing now is actually more than twice as many college boxing teams in the club form as existed in 1960 when the NCAA discontinued boxing as a varsity sport.
You know, I can see going into boxing and not really wanting to fight as sort of like, I just want to take batting practice. I don't really want to play in the game. I am reminded of a boxing story we did a long time ago, in the process of which I met a guy who was a state trooper training as a boxer, and he said, the better I get at boxing, the less likely it is that I'll ever have to draw my gun. That's the best argument I ever heard for that sport. Craig, what do you think?
I think this could be, and we've seen this also just in public health and gyms around the country, this could be the one way to save boxing in a certain way. I don't think it's worth saving as a competitive sport of two people fighting, but if you talk to fighters and you talk to trainers, so much of it is the science, so much of it is the fitness, so much of it is the discipline required. If it turns into a personal fitness regime and hitting the bags and maybe light-level, no-head-hitting sparring, this actually could be a blessing in disguise, and that the beauty and science of boxing can be preserved even if the actual fighting is not.
My guests for this week's segment of Three Stories You Should Know have been Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports and Rachel Bachman of The Wall Street Journal. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.